enjoy it. We enjoy the fellowship. But he gets all the honor and the glory. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the time of his birth or some of the events that led to that. Around 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a prophet named Isaiah. He said a child would be born. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." That was said 700 years before it actually happened. In chapter 9, verse 6, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, this child would be God who would come down in human form. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a thought. He would live among men and women, the people of God, the Jewish people. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, Isaiah said about him, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." You see, this little baby, when he would grow up, he would live a perfect life without sin. And then he would die on a cross to pay the penalty for the wrongs of the sins of all the people in the world. Isaiah described in detail in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah how this God-man would suffer in the hands of evil men, and how his death would make a way for all men who wanted to serve God so that they could become part of the family of God once again. And then, after that prophetic word, 700 years before Christ, at the right time, an angel appeared to a young lady called Mary. The angel told her that she would have a son, and that he would be the Son of God in the form of a man, and he would be called Jesus, the Savior of the world. Mary was a little puzzled. "I'm not married yet. How can I have a baby?" The angel told her that the Holy Spirit was to come upon her and she would have the baby just as he promised. And faithful Mary, she said, "Okay, I am the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word." And then when it was almost time for the baby to come, Mary and Joseph had to move to the city called Bethlehem. They were living in Nazareth. They had to move where Joseph's family and lineage came from. That was Bethlehem. The trip was about 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and hilly country, high elevation, hills and all these things took about 10 days for them to make that journey. Of course, Mary, expecting, the trip could not go fast. You know, we sang about Bethlehem, we read about Bethlehem. I didn't know much about Bethlehem, so I decided to do a little research yesterday. The prophet Micah prophesied that Messiah would come from Bethlehem back in 710 before Christ, even before Isaiah. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. It is situated about 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem in the hill country of Judah. And its mean sea level elevation, well, the elevation of that land is 2,500 feet above mean sea level. So it's pretty high up there. Mild climate and plenty of rainfall made for bountiful fields in the area. And that's why there could have been a reason to call it the house of bread, Bethlehem. Now, in the Old Testament, there were references to Bethlehem. If you remember, and you have studied the book of Ruth, you remember Naomi, her husband, and their two kids. They used to live in Bethlehem before they moved to Moab. And there, her son married Ruth, and the story of the book of Ruth developed. And then Ruth and Boaz got married in Bethlehem, who became the great-grandparents of David, King David. Then in the time of David, Bethlehem became the city of David. And of course, as you know, David had plenty of resources. He was a great warrior, a great king, and so Bethlehem became his dwelling place, and obviously it was a nice place. Bethlehem became the symbol of the king's dynasty. And then after David, under Solomon and even Rehoboam, Bethlehem became an important strategic fortress in the different issues of war. But then came the Babylonian captivity. Israel was sacked. Everything was pretty much decimated. And Bethlehem diminished in importance to a very humble village. But then the appointed time came for the Lord to show up. When Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, they could not find a place to stay. And Mary, she was ready to have a baby. So Joseph found what we call a stable, a barn, probably a cave where they kept animals to sleep overnight. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says, "And she," that's Mary, "she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We look at that story a little bit last Sunday. We look at shepherds. We found out that the shepherds were also told by the angels about the birth of Jesus. They came, they saw, they worshipped. Then they went around the city proclaiming the good news to everyone. So this is what Christmas is all about. Jesus, the Son of God, was born as a human baby. But this baby was fully God and fully human. As a man representing mankind, he took the punishment for all the sin, past, present, and future. The justice of God was fulfilled in Jesus' sacrifice. And then, after being raised from the dead victoriously, Jesus offered pardon to anyone who would receive his sacrifice for them, eternal life with him. Christmas will just be another holiday for you to do what you want, unless you have accepted the great salvation that Jesus has offered you. You see, we're all born separated from God, destined for eternal judgment. That's what we inherited from Adam and Eve and their sin against God. But God would not give up on us. He gave us Jesus as a choice for us to join the family of God once again. But you need to personally receive him from your heart, this gift of salvation. When you acknowledge your need for him and ask him to change you, he will. You see, he said in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what your past is, where you were born, what you have done, what you have not done. It really doesn't matter. It matters, what are you going to do now? Are you going to receive his salvation? So, we celebrate Christmas on December 25th to remember the birthday of our Savior, Jesus. It is a time to be at peace with each other. And like my wife was saying, there are many challenges against that, but we must overcome. It is a time to sing songs of praise and joy to the Lord, just like we did. It is a time to visit with other people and to give gifts to other people, just as we get gifts when it's your birthday. We're just very glad that God gave us Jesus as a present to save us from our sin. And that is the story of Christmas. And we pray that this day would not be just another holiday that we go through and endure, but that God will come in and there will be a realization of the greatness of this day and the meaning that it is for each one of us, especially those that have received Jesus into our hearts. And so let me close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift. Lord, as we give gifts in Christmas, Lord, you will never be outdone because you gave us the greatest gift that we could ever receive. You gave your very best for us that we could have life with you eternally. And Lord, I thank you for every family, every individual represented here. I pray that the Spirit of Christmas would dwell within each home, within each individual. Lord, that it would not be just something that the world just enjoys for a season and then it's gone. May it be something that has spiritual meaning to us, that we would appreciate the extent of your gift to us, eternal life. And Lord, that as those that have not received it, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to you so that they would experience the abundant life you want all of us to receive. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon everyone, and I thank you in Jesus' name.
At this time, we're going to have a presentation. Stay and worship the anointing of the Lord, and don't leave yet.
Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shining the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In thy dark street shining the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met.
Are we ready for that? All right. Okay. One more, baby.
Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign.